guess what day it is.
It's Wednesday. It's Wednesday.
Today is Wednesday. Wednesday.
It's Best of Elves Podcast.
That's like the coolest thing I ever heard.
Good day, people. Here we are again. Another Wednesday. What's real crazy about this is last night I was about to go to sleep and my wife asked me, because we were praying together, I said, hopefully, you know, things go well with the devotional. I don't know. And she's like, what do you mean? I go, I don't know what I'm talking about. I really don't know what I had. I had no plans. And then as I was laying down, trying to go to sleep, I was thinking, what could I talk about? I had a couple options. I was like, maybe I'll talk about this, whatever. Woke up in the middle of the night. Yep, I'm going to talk about this thing. And then in the morning, driving to church to get ready to do this, I was like, nope, I'm going to do this. So it all changed. It all changed, and we'll see where this goes. Could be maybe a little controversial, what I'm going to talk about. We'll see. I don't know. Because it all revolves around Halloween and spooky season. Spooky season is here. And here's one thing that I'm bummed about this week. I took off from being on stage this Sunday because I'm in a golf tournament on Thursday and just didn't have a lot of time to prep for things the way that I really need to, want to be the worship leader that I'm called to be. So I scheduled all the other people. But usually this is the week I would do the song Ghost because I really like doing that. You know, it's talking about the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and saying there is a ghost in my life, but it's the Holy Ghost. It's a good one. I'm not going to do it this year. I still have an acoustic version that I'll put out, of course, on social media. But that's the only bummer. But I have a great team that's going to do a great job Sunday. And I'm going to be running sound. So there's that. But as I said, in spooky season, we're deep into it. People are full force into the Halloween spirit movement, whatever it is. And TV is just filled with horror movies. Like everywhere you look, there's a horror movie or a horror series on, whatever. And I have a weird history with horror movies myself. See, when I was 5 or 6, I watched Friday the 13th Part 2, which I think is the scariest one that there is. I was way too young to watch that. My dad had it on. I watched it, was terrified. I was traumatized, had to go to therapy for that or whatever. So from then on, I refused to watch any horror movie. Anything that could be considered scary, I was not interested in. And I didn't watch another scary thing until my senior year, as I was a senior in high school, and I was at a group of people's house and they wanted to watch this horror movie. And I was like, as a senior, I was like, I don't think this is a good idea. I don't think we should be watching this. And they're like, it's going to be fine. So they put this movie on Maximum Overdrive, which in all honesty, is probably the best horror movie for someone who's scared of horror movies to watch because it's not scary at all. It's about a comet or something going by and it makes all of the machines in the world come to life and try to kill you. And it's also from the 80s, so there's not like, I don't know. It was a good toe in the water for a horror movie, which is exactly what it does. So I watched it, and I was like, okay, this is pretty awesome. This is good stuff. Maybe I should try to watch some other stuff. And so from then on, I kind of fell in love with the genre of horror and watching. I watched all the horror movies that I could. But then now, as an older individual, I feel like I lost interest in them, and I'm like, I don't know, a new horror movie comes out, I'm not excited, and I don't see it. I don't even know the last time I went and saw a horror movie. Years and years ago, right? So whatever. But that being said, when it's this season and all the movies are on, I'll check out some of my favorites from the past, you know, like the original Halloween, stuff like that. I'll check it out. And I'd also, there's a good handful I'm not ever going to watch again because they're too scary. They're scary to me. I don't like it. Number one would be The Exorcist, which is terrifying. Never going to watch Friday the 13th Part 2 ever again. Nope. And you know what? Maybe it's not even that scary anymore. I'm never going to find out because, like I said, I was traumatized by it. I'm not watching it. Arachnophobia? No. I That haunted me. Still, I have arachnophobia. And then watch that movie? No. Awful. The Descent is about some spelunkers that go into these caves and there's creatures. No, that's terrible. Not only do you feel claustrophobic watching it, but it's not good. And then recently there was a movie called The Fall. And it's not even a horror movie. It's just about two girls who climb this really tall antenna or tower or whatever it is, and they get stuck up there. It took a year off my life just watching it. It was horrifying to me. But the reason I bring all this up, and this is crazy what I'm going to talk about here. This isn't the devotional part. We're going to get to that. But so the other night, I like to like decompress, watch a movie or something before I go to bed, just to kind of just relax and get my brain off of my routine of things that I do for the day, all that stuff. So, as I said, all these horror movies are on, and I saw what was playing. It was live at the time. I know it's weird. You don't really watch live movies anymore, but I did. But it was Sleepaway Camp, and it was a movie from 1983, an 80s kind of slasher flick that's considered, you know, a cult classic. And what's funniest about the movie is... the ending has a twist that in 1983 blew people's minds. It was the twistiest twist of all twists forever until, like, what is it, 1998, 1999, when The Sixth Sense came along, when we learned Bruce Willis was actually a ghost all along. You know, spoiler alert, I know I should have said that earlier, but my point is, the ending of Sleepaway Camp made people go bonkers because of that twist. And it was something back then we couldn't fathom. Like, we were saying, why? How? But you mean to tell me she's what? And initially, I was thinking about this, and I talked about it a little bit in my small group last night. I wasn't going to spoil the ending. But it's from 1983, and am I really telling you to go watch this? Maybe. But whatever. Here's what it is. There's a girl, Angela, in this, you know, like she's a kid that goes to camp with her cousin. She doesn't speak, really. She's very shy. Eventually, she starts talking. But she's kind of picked on by a lot of people. People think she's weird. And she ends up killing everybody that kind of does her wrong and... in the movie. And again, this is in the 80s. There wasn't great special effects, which I think sometimes can make things feel scarier, but not so much of this one. There's nothing actually scary about it. But at the end, at the very end, the twist, I'm going to reveal the twist to you. This Angela girl is actually a boy. And we know that because she's standing there with a knife because she just killed somebody. And she's naked. Why? There's no reason for her to be naked other than so that we can see, because it is a full frontal, you know. So we see she's a he. Anyways, that made people go, what? Like, it was crazy back then. But in 2024, if they made that movie and they kept that in the ending, people would be like, and? Okay. So what? There's lots of people who are like that. It's no big deal, which is crazy. Like, if you just think about how... that amount of time has passed and something that we thought was crazy, like, what, controversial, is now like, yeah, everybody does it. I mean, take the Christian aspect out of it, it's still crazy. And so last night, as I said, I was talking about this movie with my small group. And my main point last night was, it is the worst acting I have ever seen in any movie. The acting was pathetic, and it all stemmed from this one character in it, which happens at the beginning and at the end, and it's Aunt Martha. And she's the reason the acting was so bad, because her performance, my initial watch of it the other night, I was like, how did they put her in this movie? How did the director and let it go so far that she actually made the theatrical release? You know, like, it's crazy how bad it was, right? So I was going to share a bit of that with you today. I'm just going to put like 20 seconds up of just her acting, right? And you will see how spectacularly bad it is. All right. So let me do that right now. You just watch this real quick.
We don't want to be late for the boss.
Goodness, no. No, that wouldn't do at all.
Richard, Angela. Oh, here you are. Look what I did. I packed you and your cousin some goodies for the ride up to camp. Wasn't that nice of me?
Any chips?
Why, of course. I believe there's a whole bag.
Why, I'm almost sure of it.
Angela, isn't there anything special my little girl would care for?
Okay, so see what I'm saying? It's so weird and I don't know. I was blown away how I found it to be, you know, so bad. And atrocious acting. But check this out. This is what's crazy about this now. So this morning when I screen recorded it, I screen recorded about 2.5 minutes of it because it was a whole scene. And after watching that, it all made sense to me. Like, I'm blown away how I found this atrocious acting. This was a specific choice. This was something that they wanted. And it makes all the sense in the world to me now, because the villain, if we think about it, the main antagonist that you think is Angela, the one who's killing all these people, Angela wouldn't be Angela if it wasn't for this completely out of her mind nutcase, Aunt Martha. Because then if you go to the end of the movie, okay, let me just tell you this real quick. At the very beginning of the movie, there's a father, a daughter, and a son. They're laying on a boat. The boat tips over and they're on a lake. You know, they're having a good time. It's right by the summer camp and they're laughing. Nobody's in trouble. And so they're like kind of holding onto the boat. There's another boat with a skier coming that is got some kids on it that aren't paying attention. They end up running over those, killing the father and what we think is the boy. But it turns out the survivor was the boy from that boat sent to Aunt Martha's to take care of. And she says, no, I've always wanted a girl. You'll be a great little girl. I'm going to call you Angela. So she makes him into this girl thing. And that makes him go crazy and want to kill people. And I think that's something we should really take into 2024. When you change your whole gender identity like that, sometimes makes you crazy, want to kill people. I'm not saying a lot of... Anyways, just saying. I actually didn't mean to do this whole long diatribe about the horror movies or whatever, because what I wanted to talk about was this. Still, we're still staying in the Halloween vein, but again, this being spooky season, Halloween season, a lot of people have their houses all decorated. I don't do that. I don't find... That's just not how I roll. I don't want to decorate for Halloween. It's too much work for no reason. I don't want to celebrate Halloween like I would celebrate Christmas. It's not my thing. Speaking of, as I was driving, what really prompted this is I was driving to church. I go in through my neighborhood and there's a guy with his house who does it up big. And he's still in the process of putting stuff out because every day I go by, there's something more there. But right now his top balcony on his house, it's filled with like the classic horror movie villains like Freddy and Jason and Michael Myers and Ghostface and whoever. I don't know. There's a bunch of them up there. But then, so we have that whole theme. Then you go downstairs and right outside the door, there's like a 12-foot skeleton and a big skeleton dog next to it. And then to the right of that in the grass is a whole like water scene where there's ghost pirates and sea creatures. And then to the left, there's a big flying saucer, like a classic style alien flying saucer. And I believe that by the time it's done, that's going to look like it's sucking up a cow to go be, I don't know. But what I was thinking is like, there's no, this is just random stuff, Halloween stuff in a yard. If I were to do something, it needs to be a theme, you know, like, so if you go into my office here at work, it's all Star Wars theme. If you go into my office at home, it's all getting my guitars displayed in a certain way. I have movie posters, but they are music. Everything has a central theme, and that's just how I don't like. And then I was thinking, what if this guy spends, because it's got to cost a ton of money for this guy to get all these decorations. What if he was like me? He's like, I want a theme to be this. And his wife's like, you just spent X amount last year for this. No, it's going out there too. We're putting it all out there. I don't know. It just went through my mind like that. But even though I don't care too much about Halloween in general, I like Halloween down here because I see how much fun people are having, how they go the extra mile to decorate and give out candy. And I like walking around the neighborhood on Halloween, taking in what like feels like this alive atmosphere. Like people are just, it seems happy, like doesn't seem dark. And I never thought it was going to be like that because in the past, Halloween was just like a day that I just wanted to get through. Because I have, you know, with the kids growing up, it was, you have to find the costume. They're talking about it for a month. And then they always pick something that's like going to be too cold. It's too cold outside. Sometimes it snows. They want to be like a hula girl, but then they have to be wrapped up in this jacket or a coat because it's cold. It was just dumb. I didn't like it. I was like, ugh. And forget about staying home, giving out candy. Can't stand that. I'd rather be out walking, doing stuff, right? So this whole thought process came to, what does the Bible really say about Halloween? And so that's what I want to talk about. What does God say about Halloween? How should we act as Christians? And should we be celebrating? Should we maybe not? So that's kind of what I want to talk about. The Bible doesn't directly reference Halloween by name, but it does instruct Christians to avoid participation in pagan practices that involve witchcraft, the occult, and worship of other deities. I agree. You know, it does say that. I agree with it. And I did a Google search, you know, to see what Google says about this. And here's what Google AI gave me when I said about how should Christians view Halloween. And I have three options that Google gave me. And I think two of them, I was like, okay, I'm on board. And then the third one, I was like, hold up. Then that's where my investigation came from. So the first one said, reject Halloween. Like Christians don't get involved in Halloween. It's just what we said. It's a pagan practice. We don't want to do it. And a lot of Christians believe this is a demonic holiday that should be avoided at all costs. And maybe they want to shield themselves and their children from the evil associated with Halloween. And if that's your choice, then you should do that. And I'm not going to argue with you. Then there's accept Halloween is another option. Some Christians believe that Halloween is just a fun, harmless way for kids to dress up and have a good time, get candy. And they don't look at it as a religious holiday at all, which I don't think it's a religious holiday either. Although if you do something annually, I guess it becomes religious. Like you religiously do something. I don't know. But there's people that accept Halloween. I don't have a problem with those people either that, you know, like just participate in it. But here's the third option where I was just like, hold up. What'd you say? Redeem Halloween. Christians should redeem Halloween. And it says some Christians believe that Jesus came to redeem all things, including Halloween. Now that I feel like is a bit of a stretch. But so then I started researching and looking at different articles, and I came across this article that I'm going to be reading a lot of what this thing says, and maybe I'll comment in between, but I thought it was very interesting. It said, certain Christians seek to redeem Halloween. They see Halloween as an opportunity to engage with their communities. They believe that as followers of Jesus, they can redeem the holiday by participating positively and fostering connections with neighbors. Okay. So the question whether Christians should engage with Halloween is, you know, it's a subjective thing and largely based on your personal convictions, as the Apostle Paul said in Romans 14:14, I know and am persuaded in the Lord Jesus that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it's unclean. So if a Christian, if you're convicted not to participate in Halloween, then you should absolutely follow that conviction. And if you choose to abstain from participating in a manner consistent to your faith, then don't. The Bible emphasizes the importance of discernment and wisdom and acting for the benefits of one's neighbors. However, this article says it cuts both ways. Those who find no harm or even something worth redeeming about this holiday should be allowed to participate without judgment. In the same chapter of Romans, verses 3 and 4, Paul writes, "Let not the one who eats despise the one who abstains, and let not the one who abstains pass judgment on the one who eats. For God has welcomed him. Who are you to pass judgment on the servant of another? It is before his own master that he stands or falls, and he will be upheld, for the Lord is able to make him stand." So obviously they're talking about food here. They're talking about Christians who felt the conviction to eat a vegetarian diet. So Paul basically says that both sides of the argument, not expressly commanded in Scripture, can be correct for that person, given their own faith journeys. And we should stop judging each other, you know, with a wide swath based on personal convictions. So essentially he's saying, you know, worry about yourself, mind your business. Article says it's a bad habit of Christians to focus outwardly instead of inwardly, to condemn others we disagree with loudly. Who's ever said Christians loudly condemn others that they don't agree with? Right. And Halloween is an easy target. Scary movies, media can seem evil, but in reality, evil always exists everywhere, every day. And in reality, most scary movies, books, etc., in the end, are stories of good versus evil, as is life. In fact, embracing supernatural horror is often an echo of a desire for God to save us. So there's this author, Jacqueline S. Parrish, and she said in an article, a different article, and here's a quote from her, "The ghost stories, the haunted houses, the shuddersome costumes, all the festive horror of Halloween is but an echo of the eternity God has placed in our hearts, clattering in reckless hope down a dark alley. It's a cry for something worth our worship, worth our awe, and truly worth our holy fear." So in the end, whether we choose to celebrate Halloween or not, the central idea is to act with compassion, grace, and a sense of mission. And then there's this list of ways Christians can engage with their communities during Halloween in several ways. And here are some examples. Make biblical connections. And I thought this was interesting, although I don't know how many connections you can make. But here's one. When talking about traditions of the past that influence the holiday, you can share with your kids connections to the Bible stories. For instance, the Celts left a carved turnip on the door so spirits would pass by and leave their house alone. They also left an empty chair at the table for the souls of deceased loved ones. So these two events mirror events that traditions from Passover, where the lamb's blood protected the homes from a plague killing the firstborn. That was, you know, in Egypt. And the empty chair is left at Passover table for Elijah, who is believed to be coming before the Messiah's appearance. So you can relate the certain stories, I guess you can relate to Bible scriptures and all that. That's a good thing. Should do that. I don't know how many more there are, but they made a case for this one. Another thing you could do is make your home or church a hot spot. You know, now they say here, offer the best candy, like full-size candy bars. That's pretty expensive. Like, that's crazy expensive nowadays. And I do remember back in the day going trick-or-treating, and we knew the houses that had the full-size candy bars, and I'm definitely hitting those. But I don't think people can afford that nowadays. But they want to create an inviting atmosphere, making your home a popular destination for trick-or-treaters. Provide cider or pumpkin bread for adults and make connections. Have your church host a trunk-or-treat event or open the doors of a rec room filled with carnival-like games for kids to win. Lots of candy, dress up like Batman, let people see that Christians can be loving and fun-loving at the same time. And reach out. Use Halloween as an excuse to visit your neighbors' homes, providing an opportunity to get to know them. Be prayerful and present. Seek the guidance of the Spirit and exercise wisdom in your interactions. And let me tell you, being down here, walking around neighborhoods, I have made a lot of connections with people in the neighborhood and just talked to them. And like, they're like, I like that Adam guy. He seems like a good dude. And then I'd say, I like Bill and Jane or whoever like that. And then later on, hey, did you know that Adam was a pastor? He's the guy who was walking around with his kids trick-or-treating. He seemed like a cool, let's go check out their church. There's lots of things that can happen out of this if we're just nice and make connections and are out there to be nice, I guess. You know, whatever. Here's a weird one that I never really experienced before. Bring the love of Jesus, not tracts. And I was like, what does that even mean? And so it says, for a lot of Christians, attempting to give out Bible tracts instead of candy. In the end, that's worse than a toothbrush or pennies. Instead, show these kids love. I guess a tract is like maybe a Bible story or maybe a book of the Bible. I don't know, that you hand out instead of giving candy. But yeah, I've never received anything like that. I've never heard of anybody doing that, but apparently people do it. But this says instead of doing that, giving out tracts, give out good candy and all that, fawn over their costumes, overload them with candy, congratulate the parents for having such creative kids, match their excitement to foster a sense of community with all the other families in your community. That will open up far more doors for future conversations on faith than tossing a tract ever will, which I kind of agree. Because if somebody is not open to the Bible, the church, whatever like that, and you just throw a Bible story, whatever, in there, they're gonna be like, ugh, these people. But if you're nice and they're like, oh, what a sweet couple they are there, check out, what, remember that house we went there, they gave us this great candy, and then later on you talk to them about something about your faith, they're more open to hear it. I get this. I feel like this is a good thing. Ultimately, the Christian's response to Halloween can vary, and it's vital for individuals to discern how they can best live out their faith while engaging with the holiday. As long as Christians act with love and consideration for their neighbors, they have the freedom to choose their approach to Halloween. I agree. In the end, Halloween belongs to Christianity just as much as it belongs to any other group. If we as Christians hold the belief that Jesus came to redeem and renew all things, as stated in Revelation 21:5, where Jesus declared, behold, I am making all things new, then this certainly encompasses Halloween. That's what they say. I don't know. I'm stuck on this one. I'm not endorsing that comment. If we swiftly dismiss Halloween entirely, we risk missing out. After all, Jesus instructs us to be in the world, though not of the world. Right? It's true. It says that. But what does that truly entail? Does it mean that evil exists out there, and as long as we shut our doors, turn off the lights, and hide under the covers, we can keep evil at bay? I don't think so. I did like this little comment here, though. It said, Halloween is not Satan's holiday, which I know a lot of people think it is, because Satan doesn't get to have a holiday. Just like every day, Halloween is a day that the Lord has made. So rejoice. Be glad in it. And perhaps if we shift our perspective on Halloween from an us versus them, which I think a lot of Christians do, that kind of mentality, and look at it as an opportunity for community engagement and a chance to spread the love of God and the joy of the Spirit, we can approach the holiday with a little more compassion and grace rather than judgment. Perhaps to truly redeem Halloween, we must simply approach it as we should approach all things, fueled by the love of God and desire to share it with others. So I thought this was just like an interesting article about redeeming Halloween. I know we got off the rails at the beginning talking about horror movies and sleepaway camp and all that stuff. I apologize. It's just what happens on here. But if you're one of those people who are dead set against Halloween and you don't want to have anything to do with it, I'm not here to convince you to do with it. Be a part of it. If that's what you feel that you should do, then you should do that. And if you're a Christian who is all about Halloween, you love it, it's your favorite holiday, whatever, and you get mad at people who do, who don't have anything to do with it, you shouldn't do that either. And if you have nothing to do with it, you shouldn't be mad at the people who do. You know, it's just like, I like the idea of like, let's mind our own business. If we're a Christian, we can still use Halloween to share the gospel, to increase his kingdom. And it may not happen on Halloween, but we can make connections that will down the line do that. Just like we see God use bad things all the time to do good. He has that power. And we have that power to use this day to further his kingdom down the road too. It's just what I think. So let me know what you think about this message. If you think I'm crazy or maybe I'm onto something. Maybe this article is onto something. I don't know. I like it though. So that's what I have for you. This short 10-minute devotion I thought it was going to be today turned into a lot longer. I apologize for that too. So no, I'm not going to apologize. I like it. It is what it is. I'll see you next Wednesday. We'll be right back.